This summer, we are going to be talking about some superheroes. But we're not just going to be talking about superheroes. We're going to be talking about Jesus, because that's what we do. It's all about Jesus. But I want to, over the next few weeks, we're going to look at some of the ways we misunderstand Jesus. And a lot of the ways we misunderstand Jesus, there's... When I was in seminary, I learned all these really big Greek and Latin words that are really meaningless to us because they're big, complicated, crazy Greek and Latin words. And a lot of the misunderstandings we have about Jesus, we have about God, there's a word that we use to label those ideas, and it's this, the word, you've probably heard it thrown around before, but the word is heresy. And there's all different kinds of heresies. And like I said, they've got like these strange names like Arianism and Docetism. And like these names don't really resonate. But when you boil it down, a lot of these misunderstandings about God, we can actually relate to superheroes. And so we're going to look at some superheroes over the next few weeks. But we're going to look at how they show us misunderstandings of God. And we're going to be looking at how superheroes can't save us, but Jesus can. Okay? So kids, pay attention, because this is important. And I really want to help you remember. So when you think about it, you're like, you know what? Because, like I said, when seminary, I learned all these words. When I hear something, I go like, oh, that kind of sounds like Docetism. It's like, you know, that doesn't really resonate. But I want you to be able to think like, you know what? That sounds like the Superman error. Okay? So this morning, we are going to start with probably one of the best known superheroes out there. That is, did I lose my text? Okay, that is Superman. So Superman has been around. Hello, there we go. So, Superman's been around for a long time. So, some of you probably remember Superman like this in, you know, the early comics. Some of you might even remember him, you know, before color comics. You know, he's changed throughout the years, right? Superman, there we go. That's the Superman I remember from when I was a kid. Before, you know, they CGI'd everything. you know, right up to our current iteration. Superman's been around for a long time. Now, the thing about Superman is, where does Superman come from? We can... Okay, the planet Krypton. Thank you to the child in the back. Now, Superman came from the planet Krypton. So Superman is not human. Superman has super abilities because he's not human. Now, he goes around as this guy, Clark Kent, right? But even in the story, Clark Kent's not a real person. Clark Kent is Superman in disguise, right? Whenever he's needed, what does he do? He changes, right? Now, in the older iterations, right, he ran into a phone booth because those used to exist. So kids, phone booths are these things where there was phones and you put a coin in, it was anywhere between a loonie and a nickel, depending on how old you are. And Clark Kent would run into a phone booth and he'd rip off his Clark Kent clothes, and he was always wearing his Superman underneath, his Superman tights, right? And so he would rip off his human disguise and he would do his Superman thing. Okay? Now, some of you might be wondering where I'm going with the Superman thing. I'm going to get to Jesus. Okay? Don't worry. I'm getting there. Now, when it comes to Jesus, throughout the history of the church, there's been a lot of discussion and a lot of wrong ideas about who Jesus was. Now, right from the very beginning, it was recognized that Jesus was the Son of God, that he was God. The trouble is that very early on, and I know some of us still today have a hard time wrapping our heads around this idea that Jesus was fully man and fully God. And as people have wrestled through how that could have worked, because it's a divine thing, it's a God thing, and we're human, there have been some bad ideas that have cropped up. And one of those ideas that came up very early on was what we're going to call the Superman heresy. And that was the idea that Jesus was more like Superman, where he was God, but he just put on a disguise so that he looked like one of us. Okay? And so Jesus is God, but his time on earth was just like his secret identity. That when he was on earth, he was just like Clark Kent wearing that suit and the glasses, because, you know, when you wear glasses, nobody will recognize you, right? Take them off, you're like, ooh, exactly. Well, I can't even see who you are now, but that's one of the ways that people kind of thought that this worked. That he was God, and so the only way he could have been on earth was if he was in disguise. Now, this is rooted in the thinking of the day. You see, in Jesus' time, you know, about 2,000 years ago, it's a long time ago, but there was the way of thinking in Greek philosophy was that there was the body and there was the spirit. And the spirit was good. Our spiritual beings were good and the spiritual realm was good, was the thinking. And it was the physical world that was evil. And so, you know, you can kind of understand, it's like, yeah, you know what, my soul, my spirit is good, it's my body that gets me into trouble. That was the thinking. And so part of that thinking, what grew out of that was, then if the spirit world is all good, and the physical world is all evil, then there's no way a good God could be part of an evil world. Right? There's a logic there. The trouble is that's not what the Bible teaches. And so we see, even going into the New Testament, we see early on when the Apostle John was writing the book of the letter 1 John, he writes this: that which was in the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we have seen it, and we testify to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim it to you that what we have seen and heard, so that you may also have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. You see, the Apostle John is saying right from the beginning, Jesus appeared to us. Jesus was here. It wasn't some spiritual manifestation. He was here, and we saw him, and we touched him, and we knew him. He was with us. It would appear here that John is starting to tackle this idea that Jesus was really just spirit, and he just appeared. This was a false teaching that was going on. And this false teaching that we saw cropping up in the first and second century, the technical term for it was what we call Gnosticism. But it really, at its heart, was just viewing Jesus like Superman, as a being from another realm who is able to do great things because he's not one of us. And this idea of this Gnosticism was that the spirit was good and the physical was evil, and that there was, because a good God couldn't interact with the evilness of the physical world, that there was some secret knowledge. And as you got to further into the teaching, you would learn those secrets. The secret knowledge that helped you to understand what you needed to be saved. the heart of it was this idea that we had to escape the evil of the physical world. Because the physical world was evil, it was polluted, and there's no way a good God could come into it. This also, though, directly contradicts what we have in the Bible. Because we're told in the Bible what God's view of creation was. If we go all the way back to Genesis, to the creation account, God created, and what did he say? It was good. He created the land, he created the animals, he created the plants, and at the end of each day, we're told that God saw it and it was good. And then God created Adam and Eve. And not only did he create Adam and Eve, but he created them in his own image. And he looked at it and he saw it was very good. Does that line up at all with the idea that the physical is evil? That God couldn't possibly interact with the world because it's dark and evil? It doesn't. And yet that was an idea that was prevalent back in the day. If we look at the New Testament, we won't go there this morning, but just to summarize, you read 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where the Apostle Paul is telling us what the end game is for us. That if we have our faith in Christ, that we are a new creation, that we will be raised with Christ, that we will have new bodies. It's not a rejection of the physical world. It's a renewal of the physical world, is what we are told. Now, as I said earlier, these are ideas that popped up very early in Christianity, as people wrestled through what it meant, how it could possibly be that God could come to earth as one of us. And you may be thinking then, well, if that was 2,000 years ago, and obviously much has been thought about and written about this, why does it matter today? Does anybody still believe this? And as we go over the next few weeks, we're going to touch on a number of these bad ideas, these misunderstandings, beliefs that undermine the gospel. And I should add, when we talk about heresy, we use that word, it's a heavy word, and it's not a word we throw around lightly. It's not something to say, you know what, the way that this is being done, that's just wrong. Heresy is a very specific box, and that is misunderstandings or misbeliefs that directly undermine the gospel. And this particular one, what we're going to call the Superman heresy, completely undermines the gospel, as we will see. And some of the things we're going to be looking at over the next few weeks, there are groups that believe some of these things and are part of their core doctrine today. And we're going to talk about that over the next few weeks. But this particular idea that Jesus was just God in disguise is not a very prevalent idea today. As far as I can find, there's no group that specifically holds this doctrine still, although I'm sure if you search on the internet, you'll find someone. But not a lot of people are going to deny that Jesus was God and that he was just God in disguise. However, it's a trap that we can easily fall into. It's a trap that we can easily fall into because when we're thinking about Jesus, when we're trying to wrap our heads around who he is, it can be easy to fall to one side or the other, either that overemphasize his divinity or overemphasize his humanity. Sometimes we can live as if one of those realities is not true. And so it's not so much that this is a false teaching that is prevalent, but it's a false teaching that sometimes we functionally fall into in how we view Christ. You see, one of the things that we see in the Gospels is we see Jesus doing incredible things. Jesus did incredible miracles, and he did because he was God. He was fully God. But we also have to remember that he was fully human. And so when we see things like in Matthew chapter 4, Jesus goes out and he's in the wilderness for 40 days fasting and being tempted by the devil. And I don't know about you, but there have been times where I've facing incredible temptation. And you're thinking, you know what? Okay, Jesus resisted temptation, but he was God. And in our head, we think, you know what? Jesus is out there in the desert, and he's facing off with Satan. And all he did was he did the Superman thing, and he opened his shirt. It's like, ha-ha, I only look like I'm human. You know, when we think back to Superman, you think about the movies or the comics. I mean, how many times did Superman get shot, and what happened to the bullets? They just bounced right off. Because he wasn't human. And I know that Superman is fictional. Just, I want to be clear on that. I don't want you guys to think I'm too far off my rocker. Only a little bit. See, sometimes we fall into the trap of thinking, well, he was God, so of course he could do that. Because he wasn't, and when we say that, and it's true, he was God. And so, yes, he could do, fill in the blank, we see happening in the Gospels. But when we say that, we are often unconsciously saying, which means he wasn't really human, because I'm human. And there's no way that Jesus could have been as tempted as I am. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 tells us, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin." See, we can be tempted to think, well, I'm just human. It's not my fault. I'm just a weak human. There's no way that I can stand up to this. And yet the Bible tells us that Jesus has been tempted in every way just as we are. Now, to use the Superman illustration again, I want you to think about this. Can Superman fall off a building just like we can? And what happens when he hits the ground? Exactly. He leaves a dent in the sidewalk. Right? When Superman gets shot, does he get shot just like we do? No. Bounces off him. See, in the Superman myth, he's not human. And yet the Bible tells us that Jesus was tempted in every way just as we are. And that's a really hard thing for us to get our heads around, because he was fully God. There was a whole element to him that doesn't apply to us, but he was still fully human. So how do we see this play out in the Bible? Well, we see it a number of ways. One, Jesus was born and grew up just like us. Right? We all know the Christmas story. Right? And we're told it in Matthew and in Luke. Or if you've ever watched a Peanuts Christmas, you've at least heard the story from Luke. How Jesus was born to human parents. How Jesus was born of a virgin, a miraculous thing. Jesus was born to Mary. But we also see the end of Luke's account of Jesus' childhood, his birth, and then that time when he was a young boy in the temple. Luke concludes with this. He says, "And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man." See, Luke tells us that Jesus grew up, that he grew in wisdom, right? He learned stuff. He grew in stature. That means he literally grew up. He went from little boy to grown man. And he grew in favor with God and with man. See, the Bible tells us that Jesus was born. He had a childhood and he grew up. We also, as we get into the Gospels, we see that Jesus showed normal human limitations. We're told in Matthew 4:2, that's when he goes out into the wilderness, it says that he fasted for 40 days and he was hungry. I think after 40 days, hungry is an understatement. But Jesus, and we see a number of times in the Gospel that Jesus was hungry. Matthew 8, that's when Jesus is asleep in the boat in the middle of a storm. Jesus was tired, and he was so tired that he slept through a storm that had fishermen fearing for their lives. That's a deep sleep. John 8:6, that's a well-known story of the woman at the well. When Jesus came and he sent his disciples into the village to get food, verse 6 tells us that he was at the well because he was worn out from his journey. See, that was the human side. His humanness showed that he was worn out. Now, one of the ways that this does play out in some people's thinking and in some beliefs is that Jesus, from the flip side of it, is that Jesus couldn't possibly have been human because it would be impossible for a God to experience these things. And yet the Bible tells us he did. The Bible is very clear that Jesus experienced the fullness of humanity. So, the question then is, so what? So what? Yes, we believe that Jesus was fully God and fully man, but you've said that a lot of people don't really believe this anymore. This isn't a real stumbling block. So what? Well, it matters because of what Jesus came to do. Jesus came to pay the penalty for our sins. And the thing is that sin is a human problem. Sin is a human problem. Again, if we go back to Genesis, we go back to the beginning, we go back to Genesis 3, and we see that Adam and Eve are in the garden. They're where God created them to be, doing what God created them to do. God created them in his own image. He didn't create them to be slaves. He didn't create them to simply serve him or because he needed something. God created them because he wanted to, and he created them in his own image, and he created them to take care of the garden, to take care of creation on his behalf. We were created to be in partnership with God. And God created Adam and Eve, and he created as he created all things. And he said, "It is very good." And Adam and Eve, placed in the midst of the garden, were given complete freedom with one exception. And we know, many of us know what happened next. Adam and Eve are in the garden, and there is just the one tree that they are told not to eat, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They live in this place where they can eat of all the trees of the garden except the one. And of course, that human nature kicks in that we all know. If you ever want to get your kid to do something, you tell them that's the one thing they can't do, right? Whatever you do, don't push that button. And that's what Adam and Eve did. They broke the one rule, but it became their issue. Because when we break a rule, it's our issue, isn't it? A number of years ago, I was driving. It was when I was actually driving across the country to go to school in Ontario. And I had stayed the night in Golden and got up really early in the morning. And I'm driving through Banff, and they just finished four-laning the highway from the border to Banff. And it's, you know, that nice, big, open, freshly paved, four-lane divided highway. And I'm like, hey, it's Alberta. I can go faster. And, you know, I missed the sign that said it's 80 in the park. I might have thought the limit was 120. I might have been pushing that boundary that I thought I had a little bit further. And I met a wonderful member of the Banff RCMP. I don't know how many of you have ever done that, right? You know, how many of you have ever, you know, yeah, got a few. Kids, how many of you have seen your parents? I get you in trouble. That officer stopped me. And quite frankly, I should have known better. I should have read the signs better. But at that point, was the fact that I was doing 129-ish, was it my problem? Or was it the police officer's problem? What's that? He had a problem with it, but it was my problem. I did it. He wasn't just sitting there looking to pull me over for something. He was sitting there and his little gun, little speedy gun, told him that I had a problem. And now, you could say, you know, it's ridiculous, it's a wide highway, but those limits are there for a reason. Because I was driving a Toyota Echo, and, you know, a Toyota Echo versus an elk, the elk walks away with a bit of a limp. It was my problem that I was speeding. And it was my problem that I had to pay a fine, that fortunately I could pay. It was my problem that if I wanted to get an Alberta driver's license anytime in the next 10 years, I had points. That's one reason why I didn't go back to Alberta. Save some money. But it was my problem. And it was my problem that I had to fix by paying a fine. The problem with sin is that it was a human problem. It was a human-made problem. It wasn't God's problem. And one of the things that we see as we go through Scripture is that the human problem required a human solution. Now, stick with me if you think I'm going off the rails here. Genesis 3:15, God says to Eve that your offspring will crush the serpent's head. God told Eve that the curse of sin was going to require one of her offspring to crush the serpent's head. And then as we go through the Old Testament, we see that for centuries, the human problem of sin was atoned for, meaning covered over, or that fine was paid again and again and again by lambs, by goats, by oxen, by cattle, by doves. Blood was shed time and time and time and time and time again to pay for human sin. And all those centuries of sacrifice, all those thousands upon thousands of animals that were sacrificed could never fully pay the price. The only price, the only one who could pay the price was a man who lived a perfect life. And that person, that man, was Jesus Christ. And that is why it is vital that we know Jesus was fully man, not just God in disguise, not just a Superman. And now, like I said, stick with me lest you think I've really gone off the rails here. Because this is only the first of a series that we're going to go through. And right now, I have to tell you that this argument that, you know, looking at the fact that Jesus was fully man is like this guy on the seesaw. I don't know if any of you have ever played on a seesaw or teeter-totter by yourself. This is a really fun way to do it, isn't it? Right? That guy, that kid is just having a blast. Okay? What we call the Superman heresy is like one side of the teeter-totter. Okay? You got to come back for next week. Because the opposite heresy is that Jesus wasn't really God. Okay? We believe that Jesus was fully God and fully man. And it's an incredible miracle. But we have to hold on to both truths. And so when we hold on to one truth at the expense of the other, that's when we fall into these bad ideas. If we hold firmly to the divinity of Christ and only to the divinity of Christ, we end up in this Superman idea. Next week, we're going to look at what happens when we view God as only God and discount his humanity. Only human and discount his divinity. Getting mixed up there. And so next week, you got to stay tuned. As so often, I don't know how many of you guys watch. I mean, I remember watching Batman as a kid, and how many times you got to that end of the episode and it's like, tune in next week as we see what happens. This is important. And I'm trying to do this in a way that is a little more fun, but it's deadly serious. Because any of these misunderstandings of who God is undermines the gospel. And you need to understand that if Jesus wasn't really human, if he was just God in disguise, then our debt's not been paid. And that has eternal consequences. And so Jesus was fully human. He was not just God in disguise. And next week, we will look at how Jesus was fully God as well. And I'll give you a hint. That heresy we're going to call Batman. So I know some of you like Batman. He's going to remind you that Jesus wasn't just a man who had lots of skills and was super special. Because one of the things about Batman is that he doesn't actually have any superpowers. He's just a rich guy with toys. And that's the opposite side of this same misunderstanding. And so as you go this week, rest in the fact that Jesus was God. But he was also one of us. And so no matter what you face this week, as it says in Hebrews, Jesus was tempted in every way just like us. And because of that, we can be sure, as he is in heaven advocating for us and standing there in the presence of the Father on our behalf, that he can do that because not only is he fully God, but because he is fully man.